Hello there. Welcome to the second week of the Bernie Miklas channel here on YouTube. Thank you for all your wonderful support during the first week. We're doing pretty well, and we'll continue to get better. I'll continue to get better. Need some technological improvements, things like that. Got to get better lighting in here. You know what I'm saying? I want it to be good. I want it to be really good. But right now, I'm just kind of grinding it out till I find my way and figure some things out. So thank you for your patience. Most of all, thank you for your support. The big story, I think, around town the last 24 hours, 36 hours, has been Jordan Walker. Should the Cardinals bring him up? Should they promote him from Memphis? You remember he got off to a terrible start hitting 155, and they sent him to Memphis in late April. I thought it was a justified move at the time because he was drowning. He kept chasing low and away pitches. Major league pitchers ain't dumb. They know where to go to attack the weakness, and they attacked that weakness repeatedly, and he just couldn't counter it because that's not the zone where right-handed hitters are going to be good and certainly not going to hit the ball with authority. So anyway, Jordan Walker needed some time down in Memphis. He didn't exactly tear it up for a while. He started to get a little better. But since around July 24th, and actually you could go back maybe a week before that, but we'll stick with July 24th. So if you look at his numbers since July the 24th, you're seeing evidence that Jordan Walker has followed through on the recommendations to try to hit the ball in the air more, quit chasing the low and away stuff, also try to pull the ball more because that's where the power is. And people may not like to hear that. That's where his power is. If you look at his rookie season stats, I ain't going to run down everything. But his home runs, most of them were to the pull side. See, he has a tendency to hit opposite field a lot, hit straightaway a lot. That's not where his power is, okay? It's as simple as that. That is not where his power zone is. So he's got to get it in the air more often, and he's got to pull it more often. And he's been working on those things and making really good progress. The thing that excites me more than those numbers, and those numbers are outstanding, 343 batting average, 400 on-base percentage, 687 slug, OPS over 1,000, six doubles, five home runs, and only a 19% strikeout rate. Okay, those are great numbers, to say the least. But what I think is even more exciting are the underlying metrics that tell you whether the guy is doing what he has to do to put up those good numbers. I mean, you want to see a higher exit velocity. You want to see a higher hard hit rate. You want to see a higher barrel rate. You want to see longer distances on his fly balls, okay? It's a pretty short checklist. Well, yeah, and stop chasing those bad pitches low and away, of course. His average exit velocity since July 24th is up by a good amount, 92 miles an hour plus. His hard hit rate has jumped up by 6-7 points, 48% hard hit rate. That's really good. 14.7% barrel rate. That's very good. And it's also way, way better than what he was doing all season for the Redbirds down in Memphis before July the 24th. The other thing, he's hitting a fly ball or a line drive 52% of the time. That is definitely a change in the right direction. And the one that grabbed my attention when I was researching all this morning, before July the 24th, Jordan Walker had an average distance on his fly balls of 314 feet. Not good. Since July the 24th, the average distance on his fly balls is 330 feet. That is much, much better. So he learned the lessons. He's implementing them. He's been doing the right things. He's been doing them better. And all the evidence tells us that he's kind of figured some things out. Maybe he has figured some things out. So what would be the reason not to bring him up? As in case you haven't noticed, and I'm being sarcastic, the Cardinals have a very up and down offense. It isn't very consistent at all. It's too easy to shut down. They don't have a bench in terms of, I think Matt Carpenter does fine as a bench guy, but after that, I don't know. You tell me. They desperately need right-handed hitting, especially for power. And it would be nice to have some of that because I'll give you another couple of things that are just frankly ridiculous. I was looking at the outfield, and I'm talking about the at-bats that guys take as outfielders. not designated hitters. Okay. And there's obviously a difference because we want to see what they get out of their outfielders. This is amazing to me. All season long, 88% of the plate appearances among outfielders has been taken by left-handed hitters. So it's about 12%. Only 12% of their at-bats or their plate appearances have been taken by guys who hit from the right side. And frankly, one of those was Jordan earlier, and one of those was Dylan Carlson, and he's gone. Tommy Pham's really the only right-handed bat that can play the outfield and maybe do some damage. And if you look on the bench, there ain't much there, right? They really need a right-handed batter, and they also need a right-handed batter who can play in the outfield. And listen, I think Walt Walker has gotten better in the outfield, but if you put him in right field, I don't think he's going to hurt the team the way he did most of last season. And here's the thing. Lars Nootbaar is not doing a damn thing. I mean, let's tell the truth here, right? I could read you the stats. You don't need to see the stats. They're really bad. You know it if you watch Cardinals games. Then you have Nolan Gorman. No, he's not an outfielder, but Nolan Gorman, since June the 5th, hit 175. He's got a 304 slug. He's got five home runs. A 40% strikeout rate since June the 5th. And I've looked this up. So there's 157 major league hitters who had at least 175 plate appearances since June the 5th, right? So keep that mind, keep that number 157 in mind. I tell you where Jordan, where Nolan Gorman ranks since June the 5th in all these categories. He is 156th, next to last in batting average. OPS, 155th, two from the bottom. Home runs, 111 hitters have more home runs than Gorman since June the 5th. And if you look at his on-base percentage is awful too. So what I'm trying to say is his slugging percentage is 150th out of 157. So what I'm trying to say is he's got the worst strikeout in the majors since June 5th, 40%. So what are you getting for all those strikeouts? I told you that 111 major league hitters have more home runs than Nolan Gorman since June the 5th. You can trade a lot of strikeouts for a lot of power, but the Cardinals are not realizing any benefits from that theoretical trade, right? A 175 average, a 304 slug, a 40% strikeout rate, man, oh man, oh man. So for those of you who are wondering, what do? If they bring him up, well, who goes? Well, to me, you could give Nolan Gorman time in Memphis to try to get things fixed and get his confidence back. He provides very little value these days. In fact, since June the 5th, he's next to the last among position players in the majors in wins above replacement. And he is below the replacement level because his defense ain't very good either. And I think maybe the offensive problems have affected his defense. So Gorman, I like Gorman. I'm not one of these people say, oh, they better trade him, get rid of him. He's a failure right now, because he didn't build on his success and he's gotten lost again. So I think it would actually help him get some confidence and to get his swing back and just start to feel better about things than if you just keep him here and just keep making that hole bigger and bigger and bigger. And then here's the other thing. It's not like Nolan Gorman is 28 years old and been in the big leagues for 6 years or something, right? Nolan Gorman's 24. Jordan Walker's 22. My point being this, if you're going to send Jordan Walker down early in the season, and rightfully so, in my opinion, because he had so many things to fix and so many bad habits to correct. If you're going to do that for him in April, why wouldn't you do that for Nolan Gorman now, who's only 2 years older and doesn't have all that much major league experience? And again, he is lost at the plate. What is the point? Stop the fight, stop the bleeding, right? That's kind of how I see it. So, what could they do? Well, let me backtrack. The Cardinals' offense, as I mentioned, not very, very good. And the Cardinals are also 12-16 since the All-Star break, right? No, I take that back. My bad. Since that their hot streak that they were on, 33-18, right? That ended on July 8th. They had an off day the next day and then resumed play with that doubleheader against the Royals at Busch Stadium on July 10th. Since July 10th, the Cardinals are 12-16. How bad is that? That's tied for 12th in winning percentage in the National League, and it's tied for 23rd overall in the majors in winning percentage since July 10th. The fellas are heading the wrong way. They have lost man, like Arizona and San Diego in the wild card race have pulled away from them. The Cardinals are no closer to the Brewers really than they've been. They never can get real close. And even when they do, then they back up and go in the wrong direction again. So they've lost a lot of ground to the teams they need to catch and surpass in the wild card race. And the other thing, teams are gaining on them. Like as they start the series tonight, the Cardinals are only a game and a half in front of the Cubs. So the Cardinals could use a shakeup, in my opinion. They definitely need a right-handed bat. They definitely need someone who has been hitting 400 feet plus home runs. In fact, I shorted him there. He's been hitting like 430-foot home runs the last week or so in Memphis. Shake the thing up. Bring him up. Give him another chance to show that he learned his lessons and he did exactly what you told him he had to do. He's done it. What purpose is served by keeping him down in Memphis? Tell me. If you're trying to win, what purpose is served by keeping him in Memphis when he looks highly capable of coming up here and making a difference? If he doesn't, he doesn't. But you can't be afraid to make such a move. Well, what do you do? You could say, well, designate Brandon Crawford for assignment. I don't know if the Cardinals do that because they don't have anyone to play backup shortstop right now, okay? But you can get around it. First of all, it would be good for Nolan Gorman's confidence and his hitting if he would go down to Memphis and just kind of start all over again under lower pressure. The other thing is they could promote the utility infielder that they got from Texas in the Jordan Montgomery trade last summer, Thomas Sejesi, who's really been hitting well, hitting very, very well as of late. And natural born hitter. He's really, really good. He does play shortstop. I'm not saying that he is a phenomenal shortstop. He's not. But let me tell you something. Brandon Crawford used to be a terrific Gold Glove caliber shortstop. He's not that guy anymore, not at age 38. So Sejesi could play shortstop in a pinch when Mason Wynn doesn't play. He'd probably be just as good defensively as Crawford. So again, why the fear of that? So you could designate Crawford for assignment if you got the guts to do it. And if you don't, you're not willing to do it, then it tells me you're not truly committed to winning. It's as simple as that. The other thing is, this is a two-for-two swap. You bring Walker up, Sejesi up, you send Gorman down, and you designate Crawford for assignment. There you go. Is it really that painful to do that? We don't want to embarrass Brandon Crawford like that. Oh, he's a veteran guy. Everybody respects him. Stop it. Hush. Do you want to win or what? Do you want to go another year not in the playoffs? Do you want to flunk again because you've been flunking since July 10th? If you have remedies, potential remedies, and these are also younger players who will be with you and you will benefit from them if they get it going, you have to try the remedies. If you don't try the remedies, then you're not really trying to do all you can to win, period. End of discussion. And with that note, maybe they'll bring up Walker in time for the start of the Cincinnati series. But I wanted to just, as I'm recording this, they haven't done that. So we'll see what happens. But I wanted to get on board. Pardon me. I wanted to get on board to tell you how I feel. And you can tell I got strong opinions and they're supported by facts.